What you think about Jesus.
He's all right.
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 What you know about Jesus.
He's all right.
He's all right. How you feel about Jesus. He's all right. What you think about Jesus.
He's all right.
He's all what?
Right.
He's all right.
Amen.
Amen. If I was to sing a song, that's what I would sing this afternoon. What you know about Jesus.
He's all right.
He's all right. How you feel about Jesus.
He's all right.
He's all right. What you think about Jesus. He's all right. Hallelujah. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Amen. So many things that have transpired. It all ties in with the message this afternoon. God is so real.
Yes.
Yes. We all bless this folk.
Yes.
Give honor to our pastor. Assistant pastor. Give honor to the ministers, deacons. Give honor to my wife. Give honor to all the saints and visitors in the household of faith.
Yes.
I say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. The testimonies and the little skit that was shown a while ago.
Thank you, Jesus.
It ties in with what God has, and I knew nothing about Minister Paul that was going to show that little skit. It shows you how the Spirit of God puts things together and is orchestrating different things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And how the Spirit of God moves. I don't have time to get into all this because you can teach or preach this till Jesus comes, but it's all coming together. Now, remember, we went to Pastor Gilmore's church last Saturday. Was it last Saturday? Remember last Saturday? What did we do at Pastor Gilmore's church? We praised the Lord. Amen. Amen. We worshiped and we praised the Lord. And what a wonderful time we have, amen?
Amen.
We worship and we praise Him, and the devil can't stand it.
That's right. That's right.
He cannot stand when you and I praise the Lord.
That's right.
Do you realize we were created to
worship God?
Worship and praise the Lord.
Yes.
Think about it. We were created. God allowed us to come into this life so we can worship and praise the Lord.
Yes.
That's one of the main reasons God created us for His pleasure and for His purpose.
Yes.
We weren't created for our own selfish pleasure and for our own selfish purpose. We were created specifically to worship and praise God.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us the ability to speak, not to use profanity and ungodly language.
Come on, brother.
He gave us the ability to speak so we can praise His holy name.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that. I want to, without any further ado, I want to invite your attention to St. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. And the whole St. John's chapter number 10. We're going to turn to St. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures out of here. I have verse number 4 up there. But Sister Keela, go back up to verse number 1. Go back up to verse number 1. I'd like for you all to stand out of reverence for reading the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. I don't have time to get into it. I have a lot of scriptures and time doesn't permit. We're going to touch on this a little bit. Get on out the way. Let the Lord speak and get on out the way. We're going to read down to verse 4. Let us begin.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by Him.
And without Him was not anything made that was made.
Hold that. Read that again.
All things were made by Him,
and without Him was not anything made.
thank you this afternoon. We thank you for this precious ministry. We thank you for the man and woman of God you have placed over us. We thank you for the ministers and the deacons and all the saints of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the apostolic way, the only way, the right way, your way. Heavenly Father, we pray that you just give us a mind to hear what thus saith the Lord. Help us to hide the word of God in our hearts. Help someone cry out and say, what must I do to be saved? Now, Lord God, you take full control. Keep us in these last and evil days. Use us to your glory, honor, and praise. We won't fail to give thy name honor, the praise, and the glory. Let us say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. Talking about in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the life was the light unto men. Turn with me, if you will, to St. John's, the 10th chapter. I want to draw one verse of scripture. 10th chapter of St. John's, verse number 10. 10:10. I used to live in down in Virginia, 10:10 Moppin Street. Thank you, Jesus. Brother used to make us go to church. And I thank God for it.
Yes.
As a child, I didn't understand it. But I look back now, I'm thankful she made us go to church.
Yes.
Children need to be in church.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Adults need to be in church. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Chapter number 10, St. John's Gospel, verse number 10. The thief cometh. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, talking about Jesus, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
More abundantly.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to take for a little short subject. What is the abundant life? In the form of a question. What is the abundant life? Now, I spoke last month about what is the most important thing about life. Why are we here? But here the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus says, I am come that they might have life.
Yes.
And that they might have it more abundantly.
Yes.
And when we came into the church this morning, Elder Camp was working on this little pamphlet right here. And I saw that and I said, oh Lord have mercy. And I opened it up and I said, Lord, such confirmation.
Amen, brother.
St. John, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12 says, in that chapter there's a verse that says, Jesus says that a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that they have.
Right.
And when I opened this little pamphlet up, in a little pamphlet, all of you might not have one yet, but it's this woman, she has a beautiful home, she has a nice car. And there's nothing wrong with a beautiful home and a nice car. In the verse in chapter number 12 in St. Luke's Gospel, it's talking about the rich man who had an abundance of wealth. And the rich man had said, just like this woman in the pamphlet is saying, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. A lot of people think and are under the misunderstanding that wealth means that you have made it and you have arrived.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think if you're very wealthy that I have it all. I have it made. Education is good for you and I. It's good to be educated. But education without Jesus? Wealth, there's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with living in luxury, amen?
Amen.
But luxury without Jesus?
Yeah.
And God wants us all to live comfortably. He doesn't want anybody to live in poverty. But there's a physical poverty and there's a spiritual poverty, amen?
Amen.
You can have all the wealth as it is recorded in Matthew 16th chapter. What would it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world?
Yeah.
And in the end do what?
Lose
their what?
Soul.
Lose their soul. What is the abundant life? I want you to understand according to the word of God, because that's what we stand on, amen?
Yeah.
That's what we gravitate to, amen?
Yeah.
That's what we believe in, amen?
Yeah.
We believe in it with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. The word of God tells us that Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with God in the beginning. In the beginning. You see, this is what it's all about this abundant life. People are walking around and breathing and sucking up air every day. But spiritually, they're dead. Physically, you can be alive. And at the same time, spiritually, you can be dead.
That's right.
Because the Bible says that we're born in trespasses and in sin. Because of Adam and Eve. In the beginning, Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with God.
Yeah.
In the beginning, Adam and Eve had a covenant relationship with God. They were close. They communed with God.
Yeah.
And in the second chapter of Genesis, God told Adam, the responsibility fell on the man. He told him, in the day that you eat this fruit thereof, talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, ye shall surely
die.
You know the word. Ye shall surely
die.
Now, when he said that, he was talking about several types of death. One of the main deaths he was talking about is your relationship with you and I is going to be severed. It's going to be cut off. It is not going to be the way it used to be. That's the first one. And the second one was physical death is going to start working in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what Adam did, the Bible said he brought sin into the world.
Yes, he did.
And sin brought death right along with it.
Yes. Wow.
And because of Adam's willful disobedience, people are dying every day.
Yes.
But there's a worse spiritual death. That's the main one right there. The spiritual death. When men and women are born into this world because of what Adam did, they're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Psalms 51.
Come on, brother.
And everyone that comes into this life has one mark against them. You're born in sin.
Yes.
Everyone that comes into this life does not gravitate to the spiritual things of God. This is why men and women reject the word of God. This is why men and women call themselves atheists and agnostics. Because of the sinful nature we inherited from Adam.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But the abundant life, it took the Lord Jesus Christ to come. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
You and I, we don't get an abundant life by just getting all the material wealth that we can gain and getting a good education. The only way to get an abundant life is to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right now.
That's the only way it comes. It will not come any other way. Matter of fact, you don't really start living until you surrender your life to God. You can be physically incarcerated and be set free and still spiritually incarcerated. And it is the spiritual incarceration that causes the physical incarceration.
Yeah.
The reason why our prisons are so overflowing now is because of the spiritual incarceration.
Yeah, right.
Men and women are in sin. The reason we have wars and rumors of wars is because of the spiritual incarceration. Men and women are walking in sin and living in spiritual darkness.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
The reason we have gangs and wars and rumors of wars and hatred and envy and strife and all the problems that we have in the community and in our current events and in the world, it's because of the spiritual sin.
Yeah.
You have spiritual people that are walking around out there spiritually dead.
Yeah.
Spiritually dead. No life spiritually. You can be walking around and you can be the most intelligent individual in the world, but spiritually, if you don't have Christ, you don't have that abundant life. You won't get this abundant life until you surrender to Christ. The most important thing that ever happened to us is when we surrendered our lives to Jesus. Living for God, young people, listen to me. Living for God is an exciting life. Don't you let nobody tell you that it's dull and boring and it's for old people. Don't you let nobody peer pressure you. I want you to know there's a system that is out there, and it is the system of a world. It is a spiritual system. John, in his epistle, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The system out there in the world is, you got to do what I do. The language out there in the world, and don't let anybody pressure you. If you're walking with Christ, stand your ground. Amen?
Amen.
If you've got a mind to live for Jesus, live for Jesus. Show the unsaved what the abundant life is all about. Show them not so much about how you say it, but how you live it. There's a system out there that is unsaved and ungodly. And see, you and I, to be truthful or not, to realize it, you and I must realize that we are not the oddballs. The unsaved are the oddballs. Now the Bible tells us, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. I want to read this to you. I just don't want to quote it. I want to read it to you because I want you to see it. 1 Peter, chapter 1. The Bible tells us that we are, I'm going to read this to you. Hallelujah. Chapter number 1, 1 Peter, verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a what?
Lively
hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Next verse. To an inheritance incorruptible. To have an inheritance means something is awaiting for you and I. Those of us in Christ, we are going to get an inheritance that is undefiled and that fadeth not away. Reserved where? Tell you that walking with Jesus is boring. Don't you let nobody tell you that walking with Jesus you made a mistake. Don't you let nobody tell you that walking with Jesus is not cool. Because they're the fool, not you and I. Amen? Amen. Young people, older people, adolescents, I don't care what age you are, the unsaved will try to tell you that walking with Jesus is a mistake. You don't have any life. But they don't have a life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have an abundant life. Walking with Jesus is the best thing. The best thing that ever happened to you and I. Turn to second chapter. The second chapter, verse number 9. Second chapter of Peter, verse number 9. Look at this. This is some powerful stuff right here.
Amen.
You all see this?
Amen, brother.
But ye are a what?
Chosen
generation. A what?
Royal
priesthood. A what?
Holy nation.
A what?
Peculiar.
Special. Let me give you some definitions. Property or distinctively to one person or group or kind pertaining to private property. Unusual, odd. We're peculiar. To the world, we look like oddballs. Because you must be mindful. At one time, we walked in spiritual darkness. When you're walking in spiritual darkness, to the child of God, they look like an oddball. But I want you to understand, the unsaved are the real oddballs, because we were created for God's purpose and for God's pleasure. Amen? We were created to fellowship with God. We were created to worship and praise God. We were created to live for God. We were not created to have hatred in our hearts. We weren't created to disbelieve that there is no God. We were created to fellowship with God. He created us for his purpose, for his pleasure. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Yes, we're different. We're different. If you're walking in spiritual darkness and you're walking in spiritual light, that peculiarity is supposed to draw those that are in darkness to the light. Amen? When you're unsaved, yes, you look like an oddball. Because all you want to talk about is Jesus. All you want to play is gospel music. All you want to do is read the Bible and quote scriptures. But when you're unsaved, that does seem odd. Amen? There was a time in my life I was running from that. I didn't want to hear that. But God was knocking. God was knocking. Just like he knocked on your heart. Just like he's knocking on other hearts. God was knocking. And you know why he was knocking? He was knocking because he wanted to come and redeem us. To give us that abundant life. That ye should what?
Show forth your praises.
Who have what?
Called you out of darkness
into
his marvelous light.
We were redeemed, we were saved, that we could show forth. We can show forth. We can show forth what God is, what living for God is all about. Those of us that are walking in this abundant life, we have a beautiful opportunity in these last and evil days to show those who are unsaved, who God is concerned about, who God cares about, show them the right way. You got to be mindful that we're living for eternity. This is going to pass away. It's hard to comprehend, but it's all going to pass away. How do I know? The Bible says so. The Word of God says that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. And Peter says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Inside of me, the Holy Ghost inside of me gets grieved. I mean, I get grieved inside when I see the ungodliness in the world. And my heart goes out to those who are trapped in sin, in walking in spiritual darkness. And I see the young people walking around with their pants hanging down. And my heart is grieved when I see how they're killing one another and abusing one another and misusing one another. And how the jails are full and how people are robbing banks and mugging and killing and fighting and stealing. Don't you know all that's going to come to an end one day? It's all going to come to a standing end one day. I like how Minister Simon had put it. God has a cutoff time. That was inspired of the Holy Ghost when he said that. There's going to come a time when God's going to say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. That's what he said with Noah in the ark. He said, enough is enough. Get in the ark. Get in the ark, Noah. Get in the ark, animals. I'm going to close this ark and flood the world. I'm going to flush this world out. He destroyed it with water the first time. The second time he's going to destroy it with fire. And one thing about fire cleanses, purifies. And I want you to know the world needs to be cleansed. It needs to be purified. And I want you to know there's no room for God in God's kingdom for sin and ungodliness. Amen? That abundant life, you don't start living until you surrender your life to Jesus. You don't start living till you give your life to God. I mean, it is a, do you realize it is a blessing to have a mind to live for God?
Yeah,
but a lot of people don't have a mind to live for, and knowing that God is dealing with them. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Spirit of my Father draws them.
Yeah.
And I like how Elder Camp said it. He said it last year. He said, God is always calling us towards him.
Yeah.
The reason God is always calling us towards him is because he created us for fellowship with him.
Yeah.
We weren't created to be cast in a lake of fire. We were created to spend all eternity with God.
Come on, brother, break it down.
For a man and a woman to die in sin and lost forever, that grieves God.
Yes, it does.
When he went to Calvary, he died for all of mankind.
Yeah.
He died for all of, he died for the Jew and the Gentile.
Yeah.
He made a way out of no way.
Yeah.
And now that he has made that sacrifice and bridged that gap, because Paul telling Timothy, he said, there's only one mediator between God and man, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus stood in the gap. And he bridged the gap to make a way for mankind to come back in that perfect relationship with God. So we can have that abundant life. The abundant life is a life living for God. Living for God and having that abundant life doesn't mean you're perfect. But it means your sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
It means your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Hallelujah. It means that you have been delivered and set free from sin. Amen. And by the help of the Holy Ghost, we can bring this flesh in subjection to the will of God. Amen. The abundant life. I want you to understand, my mind and my wife's mind are made up.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to live for Jesus.
Yeah, right.
There's nowhere else to go. Where are you going to go? But up.
Amen.
Amen.
The only thing worth living for is living for Jesus.
Yeah.
There's nothing else worth living for.
Oh, yeah.
But like the song said, I can't go back.
Can't go
I won't go back. Go back to what?
Yeah.
Bondage? Them folks out there aren't happy. The Bible says in the 11th chapter of Hebrews concerning Moses, when Moses had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Yeah.
Oh, there's pleasure in sin. There's a lot of pleasure in sin, but it's only for a little while.
Yeah.
It doesn't truly satisfy the soul. Like Jesus. We used to sing a song, Satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied with Jesus. Said he be my comforter. Said he be my guide. Been baptized in Jesus' name. Tear it on the Holy Ghost came. Ever since that wonderful day, my soul. But he won't walk away from you.
Right.
Once you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never,
never,
never
be the same.
Never be the same.
Amen.
You read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everyone he came in contact with, we read it in St. John, the first chapter. His life was a light unto men.
Yeah.
He showed humanity the way that God wanted them to go.
Yeah.
Follow after me.
Yeah.
Follow me. Yeah. Come unto me.
Right.
Seek me. Follow me. Surrender to me.
Yeah.
I want you to understand, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. We have an inheritance in heaven.
Yeah.
We've been delivered from spiritual darkness into this marvelous light. Living for God is the best thing.
Yes.
And it just gets better.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says that eye have not seen, nor have an ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men. The things that God has prepared for them that love him.
Hallelujah.
Now we've seen some beautiful sunsets and some beautiful sunrises, but that's nothing compared. all eternity.
Amen.
Do you know what it's going to be like? God gives us a glimpse of what I told you, what Adam and Eve, God gives us a little glimpse. He gives us a glimpse of the dispensation of innocence in a little baby like Zoe.
Yeah.
Do you realize that? There's seven dispensations, a time period. I don't have time to go into all of them. The first dispensation was innocence. God gives us a glimpse of that when we see little children.
Yes.
He also gives us a glimpse of paradise, like Ella Camp likes to go fishing. When you get out early in the morning on the lake,
yes.
Or when you live in the country, mm-hmm. and you get up, God used to deal with me when I was 5 or 6 years of age living in Virginia. We were living, they had cleared the swamp off. We lived in a segregated part of Virginia. There were military families, and several houses down, there was a swamp and field area. I used to get up, and this was crazy, but I did, because God was dealing with me. I used to get dressed, sneak out the house, go and walk in this field in the morning. And I didn't know why, but it was so peaceful. It was so serene. It was so calm. The serenity and the solitude. And everybody that lives in the country or goes hunting or fishing will tell you, because I've talked to them time after time after time, they said, oh, there's something about being out in the woods early in the morning. It's so peaceful. It's so joyful. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. What it is just a little glimpse of what Adam and Eve had in the garden.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Think about it. People that hunt and go fishing and live in the country, oh, I love getting up early in the morning and go sitting on my back porch with my coffee. I can see the deer running across the road. What that is, because we're all a part of His creation.
Yes.
And we all connect.
Yes.
And what that is God communing with you and I, calling us. So when I got up early in the morning at 5 or 6 years of age and go wandering through these woods, I was looking at God's creation.
Amen.
And I was beholding His creation, because I'm all part of His creation.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. And that's what everybody is. They feel that. They feel that call. They feel the presence, because I felt the presence. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was, but it was the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God deals with all of us.
Yeah.
And is calling all of us. Yeah. Calling us to redemption. Calling us to reconciliation.
Yeah.
Calling us to Him. Because we all come from God, and we all must go back to God to give an account to God.
Yeah.
What is the abundant life?
Yeah.
The abundant life is when you and I, after God calls us, is surrendering our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and continuing to be faithful to Him.
Yeah.
Because it is a continuation of surrenderance.
Mm-hmm.
Every day He lets me see another day, I've got to keep surrendering. He lets me see another day. I got to keep surrendering.
Yes.
I got to yield to the Spirit to bring this flesh in subjection to the will of God.
Yes.
That's the abundant life.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
I have more to speak on, but I'm not going to go any further. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light.
Hallelujah.
If you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that abundant life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I want you to understand, can't no devil, can't no demon take it away from you.
Yeah.
I encourage you to live faithfully before God.
Yeah.
Let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works.
Yeah.
And glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
As we stand, what is the abundant life? The abundant life is a life surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's here for you and I. God loves you. And I hope and pray that you got something out of this message.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.